For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
You guys doing good this evening? Good, 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 good. We are going to be jumping into the book of Acts this evening, and if any of you are new to seeing my face up here or even online, my name's Tom, and I am the kind of person who just really likes to just get into it. I would love to give you a backdrop of my life and all the different things and my kids. But tonight is going to be a little bit different, and tonight is going to be for, there'll be some modifications for those of you that are at home, or for those of you that are viewing online. There is going to be an opportunity tonight to do, to get really into the presence of the Lord, and so I'm excited for this evening. And I'm excited for what God wants to do. Like Pastor Gennaro said when he came out and did the announcements, it's no accident for any of us to be here or tuning in online. But there is a God who is real, and he is wanting to spend time with us here this evening. And so that's my only purpose. I'm not here to fluff. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to necessarily tell you what your human ears want to hear, but what the Spirit wants us to hear and what God wants us to understand. And I just think for too long, we just get so caught up. And fortunately, or maybe unfortunately for you, depending on where you're at in your walk with God, God's been speaking to me a lot this week. And in the past, I've shared with you that God does one of two things for anybody who ever shares the gospel. God either puts you through something prior to what you're going to share so that you're authentic, or you go through it after because he wants you to kind of walk through the wilderness of what we just talked about. And so that goes for any platform. If you're, I don't know how high off the ground I am, but if you're 3 foot off the ground like I am, or if you are trying to minister to your kids and tell your kids about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is something that you can guarantee that God wants to make sure that our hearts are good and in the right place so that we're not just benefiting from a good sounding story and trying to allude to a higher power. No, there is a higher power, but you can call him by one of his many names or his many titles. He's God, he's Elohim, he's Jehovah. And so tonight we're talking, coming out of Acts chapter 14. But before we get into that, I just want to pray, and then we'll get into what God has for us here this evening. So if you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes, pray this. Father, we thank you for what it is that you want to do. I just ask that you would use me, Lord, to speak through, to help, to minister to those who need it. And I ask for there to be a very real move of you here tonight. That's why we're here. We don't want to be entertained. We could have watched YouTube for that, God, but we're here in the presence of the Lord. We're here tuning in online so that we can go further in our relationship with you. So we pray that you would be here, your Spirit would move, and help us to better understand your scripture in Jesus' name. And everybody said in Italian? I might be an amen in Italian. I got no idea. I don't know how to speak it. But I do want to help you guys here this evening before we necessarily kind of dive into this, because there's such a wide variety of people and circumstances. And I just felt like one of the things that God was speaking to me was just to communicate that it is okay to search out your faith, that it's okay to question. Maybe you're online, but it's okay for you to experience something after being a believer, or maybe it's a prerequisite for you to be a believer that you need to find an answer out to a specific subject. In the book of Isaiah, God actually tells us that we are supposed to come to him and present our argument to him so that we would be proved right. And so where we go here this evening, where you go for the rest of your life, it is okay for us to search God out. It's okay for us to, because I think sometimes you might get ridiculed or you might get asked the question or maybe it's assumed that you're ignorant, that you don't know anything because the just shall live by faith. And so sometimes people think of those words, that faith word or that belief word, and they just assume that it just means you just took it at face value, that you really didn't search it out. You didn't really ask questions. You didn't really dive in. You didn't really study. You haven't gone through anything. You haven't experienced life. You probably just grew up in the church or grew up with a nice bank account. And the truth is, if any of you know anybody can attest to it in here, that when it means to live by faith, faith is a walking out process. To live by faith doesn't, it's not wishful thinking like, you know, Santa coming down the chimney. It's a very real moving into the unknown. And I think sometimes we're not supposed to question God. We're not supposed to question God. The first 10 years of my experience in ministry was ministering to the youth and the junior hires and the high schoolers. And so many of them get caught up in that, I guess it's a lie, but just this falsehood that you're not supposed to question God. But we are. It's okay. It's okay to question God. Should we question him on everything? Are we supposed to be really just attacking him 24/7 to the point where we get nothing done? No. But if you are in a situation where you do need answers, he's not afraid of your questions. He's not, and he wants to answer us. And so take that to whoever it is that needs it. But I just want to recap for you real quickly Acts chapter 14. We're going to do all of Acts chapter 14 today. Pastor Hector is speaking next week. Pastor Justin did last week's, and he took on two chapters. And I just real quickly just want to catch you up with chapter 14 so that way we can get into what's going to happen here tonight, and it's going to be good. So I'm not going to paraphrase it. I actually wrote it all out so that I don't, you know, waste time here. So here we are in chapter 14. This is the Acts of the Apostles. The church has begun, and believers of Jesus Christ, those that have been influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit, are now on the move. Oh, speaking of which, yeah, tonight's called Make Room. So it's going to be this guy named Paul and this guy named Barnabas. And starting in chapter 14, just right out the gate, they go to a city called Iconium. And they, like I said, I'm just more or less paraphrasing. This isn't exactly what Scripture says, but paraphrasing for the sake of time and detail. But they spoke in a way that both Jews and Greeks began to believe in Jesus Christ. Which is very important that it says Jews and Greeks, because then the Jews that did not believe, they began to stir up the Gentiles. So there's three groups of people now. We have the Jews, we have the Greeks, who Paul and Barnabas have just spread the gospel to. And now this exterior group of the Gentiles have now been stirred up by those Jews who refused to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now these Jews are telling them, hey, you have to go. Let's get rid of Paul and Barnabas. Let's stone these two. Now in Acts chapter 14, I do want to quote this actual verse, verse 3. So after this happens, it says, therefore, they spent, this is Paul and Barnabas, spent a long time there, where? Iconium, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. We're gonna come back to that verse. So this is what happens. In response to the Gentiles now being told that, hey, you need to turn around, you need to start attacking these guys. Stoning meant taking rocks and throwing them at the individual until the individual died. That's what stoning was. So basically, kill these guys. Iconium is then divided between those that were believing in the apostles and then the Jews. The people tried to attack Paul and Barnabas. And then Paul and Barnabas ended up going to the surrounding cities and preached the gospel there. There's so much I want to say, but I want to leave room for the Lord. Like who gets told, like, hey, these people are trying to kill you. Like, oh, okay, we're just going to go to Oildale and tell people about the gospel. We'll just go there and keep doing what God has told us to do. This is a unique group of people. So in these surrounding cities, there's a particular city called Lystra. And Paul sees a man who cannot walk and heals this guy. That city begins to think that Paul and Barnabas, because of this act and spreading the gospel, then begin to think that Paul and Barnabas are those Greek gods come down, Zeus and Hermes. And so they begin to then sacrifice to them, saying, oh, the gods have come among us. Let's begin to sacrifice to them. Paul and Barnabas then correct them, but still continue to point them to God. They're going, no. This is where your logic is wrong. You think that these false gods, that we are them. No, God is so much bigger. They continue to preach the gospel. Then here come the Iconium Jews to get the mob together to try and kill Paul. And they actually stone him. And they think he's dead. They drag his body out of the city. And in beautiful scriptural fashion, it says the disciples just looked at him, just stared at him. And then Paul gets up and walks right back into the city, starts preaching the gospel again. Barnabas and Paul go to another city called Derbe, and they make many disciples there to return to Iconium and then strengthen the souls of the disciples there, telling them that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Then in verse 23, if you could put that up, it says, and when they, Paul and Barnabas, had appointed elders to them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then Paul and Barnabas continued to travel to other churches, start new churches, create new disciples. And these were the people that changed the world. That's more or less how chapter 14 ends. It says that they spent a lot of time. The last verse in chapter 14 says they spent a lot of time with the disciples. How do we get to be like Paul and Barnabas? I want to take it back for a second. I'm a guy who questions. I question everything. Everything. So we see these two men, and you're like, wow, look at them. That must have been so cool to be around men and women like that. And we can only dream. We can only imagine. But you and I, that's supposed to be what our day prior to coming here looked like. That is how life is supposed to be for us. But I think most of the time what we do not do is make room for God to do those things. I would have thrown in the towel as soon as that mob of Jews were talking bad about me. I am so emotionally fragile. Like, hey, Jesus, he saved you. Everything you've been doing, you don't need to do it anymore. And then they look at me and they go, hey, bro, you're wrong. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? That must be really bad. I really do apologize. But what we're supposed to be like is to be able to be at the verge of dying, dragged out of a city, you come to, and you go, okay, I don't know how long I was out, but I gotta go back to what it is that God called me to do. Now, something I don't wanna get twisted, and like I said, it's okay to kind of question scripture, but you know when Jesus says to the disciples, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. And so then we get the shirt that says, I'm a fisher of men. Who was Jesus talking to then? He was talking to fishermen. People who fished for a living. So sometimes we think like, oh, I got to learn how to fish in order to learn how to make disciples. No, not necessarily. If that's like your spiritual verse, you got it tattooed to your chest, that's you. But what I'm saying is that what God does is he uses us where we are at. You've heard it here at this church before. You've seen it probably on Pinterest that we're supposed to bloom where we're planted. So whatever your career, whatever your hobbies, whatever life has dealt you, in those circumstances, we're supposed to make disciples. Are you a fabricator? Okay, so the person that's your apprentice, are you telling them about Jesus? Okay, so you're a garbage person for a living. Do you tell the people that you're in your truck with about Jesus? Okay, so you're a teacher. That one's a little bit hard, especially if you're in public school. I get it. But are you still that person that is everyone notices that there's something different about you? Well, I don't want to lose my job. I don't think you can if God's looking out for you. I just don't think that you can. I mean, could you get fired? Sure. But will you go jobless? No, that's actually a promise from God himself. So how do we get to be people like this and make room for God? My first point when looking at these people is that they prayed. They prayed. And I'm gonna plug a little bit just because I believe in it so much. Tuesday nights, Northwest Campus, we pray. And that's not an exclusion, that's an invitation. That announcement goes out here as well. It's not a campus rivalry thing. It's a, hey, pray. There's people who pray here, but I'm just saying, hey, we're over there. Come and pray. We've had some of y'all over there, but I am plugging it really hard because last night when we were praying, I just felt God just kind of wreck me. Because when you make room for God, he shows up. And every confusion that you had, every worry that was making home in your mind, it goes away. Crazy. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. What do these dudes do? It says, well, therefore they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with a reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. What they were talking about, God was giving witness to, granting that the signs and wonders be done by their hands. They were saying and doing things, praying over people, and stuff was happening. Can you imagine, look, church is over, and all of a sudden all these sick people come up and all these healings, and you prayed for somebody, like, boom, and it worked? You're like, oh, me? And God's like, I've been trying to get that point across to you for the last 5 years. I've been trying to tell you for the last 5 years that this is how it's supposed to be. The second point, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, everyone in here is so studious and you remember, oh, that's the verse from last week. Good job. But for those of you that were not here, the last verse in chapter 13, it says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I am not judging anybody in this room. But did you come in here with joy and the Holy Spirit? Now, I might get blown up online because there's some trolls that don't like to go outside ever and they'll stay online. They'll be like, what are the fruits of the Spirit is joy. I didn't write scripture. It's just what it says. So apparently you can have joy and also the Holy Spirit and they're pretty dominating at the same time. But there is something that you and I are supposed to, it was because they had a tea party before that. It says that they got together, they had a lot of money in their pockets, and they had a tea party. That's why they were filled with joy. No, it doesn't. It says the Jews aroused a devout woman of prominence and leading the men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, drove them out of the district, but they shook off the dust of their feet to protest against it, went to Iconium, and the disciples were continually filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine being in a city where a mob of people don't want you there? You think you did something wrong, and yet these men were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. How? How? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a circumstance where? I think the closest I ever went was when I was a high school pastor, and I went to teach at VHS. I was in an auditorium at lunchtime. They could care less. I was the guy preventing them from getting the free pizza that was talked about if you came. That's the closest that I ever came to some real life Old Testament stoning just to get me out of the way so that they can enjoy their pizza. I can't say that I've ever been, you know, going from city to city to city. Now, I do want to sidestep for a second. Everyone's calling is different. I feel like Pastor Ron and Paul have a similar calling. They're like the pioneers. They're the apostles, right? They're the ones that, like, before anybody else does, they do. So you're sitting there thinking, like, I've never been, you know, having multitudes surrounding me, but I have had my aunt pretty mad at me at Christmas. Similar situation, where just in love, you're trying to tell people about the goodness of God, but there are people around you that don't necessarily want to hear it. You are not a good Christian because a lot of people don't like you. Don't get it. Don't misunderstand what's being talked about here tonight. Just in these guys' situations, that when they came up against something difficult, they still persevered. And then point number three, these disciples knew that the world needed the good news of Jesus Christ. They knew it. And can I say, church, that the world still needs it? And it doesn't need to be rewrapped in a fun concert way. You don't need to have tattoos to reach the lost. You don't need to have a crazy upbringing in childhood so that way you can relate. It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is. Yesterday, today, and forever. We don't need to rewrap this. It is pretty important if you know the gospel, though. If you can talk about from creation to Jesus' ascension, that's pretty important. And I want to help you out because we're going to wrap this up here pretty soon. And in the back worship, we're going to get ready here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I am a hardcore like NASB guy, but this one just said it so well. NASB is going to confuse, kind of. King James, obviously. Message doesn't really do it all that justice. ESV says it the best. For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. So please leave that up in the back room. For it was fitting that God, for whom and by whom all things exist for God, and also God was the one who created them, that he was bringing many of his kids, all of us, to glory, that he saw doing that by making the founder of their salvation, Jesus Christ, he was perfect, complete, all of everything, his will, his purpose for the earth, it was all completed on the cross in the suffering. That God would see that the only way to do this was through Jesus Christ. That's a nice little cheat sheet verse for you if you can get that memorized, that God, he saw us worthy of glory. He sees those people that are in the slumps, or I don't want to start marginalizing people by where they hang out on which side of town, because there's a lot of good people on those sides of town that hang out and work in certain places that bad people go to frequently. And so I don't want to misuse this, but every single person here in this place and online, for us to carry the gospel to the places that we go. But how do we get there? We got to make room for God. I've been involved with the adults, as far as ministry is concerned, for literally a year. And when service is over, you are so ready to go. Like your life depends on it. I'm used to being with the kids, and the kids are like linger. Like the last people they want to see is you. So the kids linger. But I'm intentionally cutting service 10 minutes and inviting a time of worship and prayer. Because you're supposed to be here for another 10 minutes. I'm supposed to talk for another 10 minutes. Now you're stuck. And what I want to do, the prayer people, we're going to provide an opportunity for prayer to be had here. Now, I do not want us to get it confused. Prayer. I'm good. I get paid tomorrow. I don't care. Every single one of us needs prayer. You can be a better husband, a better employee. You can be a better dad. And maybe you're perfect there. How about just the courage and boldness to tell people about the gospel? You know, there are certain things in Scripture that say, unless hands are laid on you, certain things can't be done. There's power here. And tonight we are going to make room for God. And God's just stamping. Prayer people, if you can please come on up, because it's going to be like that typical thing of like whoever goes first, whoever stands up first. But I was texting the worship team, I think at like 5:30 this morning. I can't remember what time I texted you guys. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry if I woke you up, but we're closing in worship tonight. And so then I was, hey, what song are you going to do? And Allie texts back. She goes, we're doing this new song called Make Room. I say, you are, no. If I could show you the text message, it's just like capital letters. It's just like, God, it's going to happen. And so now I'm going to get out of the way. And there are prayer people up here. There'll be prayer people on the sides. Your spouse could be your prayer person. But we're going to make room for God tonight. So I just want to pray this real quickly. Father, I pray for strength and boldness to just sweep over this room through the power of your Spirit. God, move. God, move. Do a work here right now. Put the strength in their legs, put the confidence in their hearts, and fill the altar right now here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our